The WBEN All Local. All Local. A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Masurowski.
The Sabres got right to work in Game 1 of their series against Montreal last night.
Play forced out to center. Here's a chance. 3-on-1 to the line for Buffalo. Pass across. Scores! Great play to Doan in front. And the Sabres, Benson and Doan, connect for the first goal of this series. It's 1-0.
How about that? Well, the Sabres kept it rolling after that.
Buffalo inside their own zone. The bank pass quickly ahead to Greenway. In the Montreal zone. Fires the shot. Scores! Welcome back to the Greenway of doing things in the playoffs. And the Sabres take a 3-1 lead with 16:28 to go in the second period.
That ends up being the game winner. 4-2 Sabres over Canadiens. Doan, McLeod, Greenway, and Byram. The goal scorers. Josh Doan talking about getting off to a better start on home ice.
Yeah, I think we have to take advantage of what we earned in the regular season. That's why you play it, and that's what you earn out of it. So we hadn't been great early on in the postseason at home, but tonight's one of those nights where I think you can build off it a little bit and feed off the energy from the crowd. They did a good job in the second coming out and allowing us to get a couple goals.
How about that big win for the Sabres in Game 1? Crowd.
Oh, so into it.
Into it. I mean, it was loud to start, and then you score that goal right away. I mean, it never ended. What a night at the arena.
The energy just fueled the whole night. Buffalo was rocking inside the arena and out. There were dueling blade gangs before the game. Smoke was coming out of the Jumbotron, and thousands packed Canal Side once again.
I haven't felt this way since I was 18 years old. That's the last time I felt this. It's unreal.
14 years of misery to come back and to see this crazy crowd going on, it's nothing but amazing. It's absolutely incredible.
Who do you think is going to be the X factor in the series? Who is going to be the guy that, you know, is the reason why the Sabres advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals?
It's hard to say because they roll four good lines. I would say Lyon, if he stays healthy. Yeah, he could be the X factor.
Well, Lyon was great last night, and there was not a sea of red in the arena like we're used to seeing during the regular season.
You know, it was nice to see so many Sabres fans there, and everybody was excited. You saw the red sweaters down low where, you know, you might typically see them. A lot of them behind the net where the Canadiens shoot twice.
Yes.
In the 100s. I'd say up by me, there was maybe a couple in our
That's great.
Entire section. It was mostly all Sabres fans, and the Habs fans that were there, they were heading out the door a little bit early.
Yeah, I was going to say, they were pretty quiet, yeah. Right, during the game. No singing, no chanting from them.
Nope, all the chanting came from us, which was, once
again, loud.
Great to see and great to hear yesterday. I can't wait to see what tomorrow night's been like because, I mean, all this time, you know, we've had Sunday night games, Tuesday night games, Wednesday night games during the playoffs. A Friday night in Buffalo, playoff hockey. Come on, can't get better than that.
It's going to raise that level even further.
Great.
The White House believes it is close to a deal with Iran. We have the latest from Tel Aviv.
It feels like we've been down this road before, maybe more than once. But President Trump seems to believe that Iran can be taken to the negotiating table and a deal can be done.
They want to make a deal. We've had very good talks over the last 24 hours.
Earlier in the day, the president sounded a whole lot more pessimistic, saying that if an agreement doesn't come soon, the U.S. will resume bombing. But the focus now is on a one-page memorandum that would formally end the conflict and provide a framework for further discussions.
The U.S. awaiting word on a response to that one-page peace proposal.
Gas prices have shot up in the past week here in Western New York. WBEN's Jim Fink tells us everybody's feeling the pinch.
Steve May is dreading the day that the cost of filling up his Jeep goes above $60. But he also knows that day is coming, and coming soon.
Right now, even just like, this is just like half a gallon, like half a tank for me, it's like $30 already. Yeah. So yeah, it's affecting my wallet pretty bad.
May is not alone. Alex from South Buffalo, who drives a four-door Lincoln, said it may not be too long before he pays, now get this, $90 to fill up his car.
Well over $60. That was before the hike. So now probably around $80, $90 maybe.
The two serve as a snapshot of how everyday consumers are bracing for the continued rise in gas prices. As of May 4th, the average gallon of gas in Western New York cost $4.41. 1 year ago, it was $3.05, according to the AAA. Consumers, they say they feel powerless. One person, George Craven, told me what his solution just might end up being.
I'd say probably, since I have a 2016 Honda CR-V, if I had to fill it up, it would be over $50. That'd be kind of crazy, and I'd probably start carpooling more frequently.
This is Jim Fink for WBEN.com News.
All right, Jim, and the average price this morning in Western New York, according to AAA, $4.51. A gallon.
Wow. Well, Erie County legislators today expected to discuss what the county should do with its expected surplus. WBEN's Tom Puckett has more on some of the ideas.
Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick wants to use a third of the county's surplus to help the county's three cities, another third toward road projects.
The remaining third, I said, let's put into the fund balance, which is our rainy day account, because we certainly think it's going to be raining before too long.
Legislator Lindsay Larigo says she's against a part of that proposal.
We heard in Mark's State of the County that he wants to use it to give out free light bulbs. I don't think that's acceptable. I heard the controller say he wants to give it back to cities. I don't think that's acceptable either. None of this money should be used to bail out the city of Buffalo.
Legislator John Bernese says he likes County Executive Mark Poloncarz's idea for some of the surplus, using that toward paying lawsuit settlements. But what about a refund to residents?
After responsibilities are met, like paying a lawsuit, I think the way you give money back is by doing projects that they need, like overlays, like road repairs, like infrastructure, like building repairs, and making sure the money gets spent properly throughout the county for the use of everybody.
Does Larigo agree? Find out online. Tom Puckett, WBEN.com News.
Tom, thank you for that. Kentucky Derby winner Golden Tempo will not be in the Preakness next weekend.
There will not be a Triple Crown winner here in 2026. Trainer Sherry DeVoe decided to skip the Preakness. They're setting their sights on the Belmont. The two-week turnaround from the Derby to the Preakness, which used to be commonplace, is considered a non-starter for many trainers and owners, given that most elite thoroughbreds now typically go a month or more between races. DeVoe, the first woman to train a Derby winner, is from Saratoga Springs, which is hosting the Belmont for a third and final time this year due to renovations at Belmont Park. American Pharoah in 2015, Justify in 2018, the only horses to sweep all three races over the past four decades. Jay Berman, Fox News.
All right, so not going to be seeing Golden Tempo in the next leg.
Yeah, so no triple crown.
Okay. Well, the World Video Game Hall of Fame set to announce its class of 2026 today.
The 12 finalists include Frogger, where you had to get a frog across a five-lane highway. Galaga, the arcade space shooter game. FIFA International Soccer, the most popular sports game franchise of all time. And Angry Birds, the 2009 hit seemingly everyone had on their first smartphones. The new inductees will join the 49 games already enshrined in the World Video Game Hall of Fame, which is in Rochester, New York. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
10:30, the announcement expected. FIFA, I think, a shoe-in for, especially during the World Cup year. How is Frogger not in the video game?
Yeah, not already there, right? Because these are like old and Angry Birds, right? They've been around for
Yeah, Angry
years.
Birds, I can kind of see. It's a little newer. I don't think I ever played Angry Birds. But Frogger, like, spans generations. Like, Frogger was in the arcade, like, back in the 80s,
yeah.
Right?
It's like a Pac-Man.
When I was growing up, Frogger was on everyone's Game Boy. I think it was the game that was included with the Game Boy when I bought it, at least.
Yeah.
So everyone knew and played Frogger. How is it not there?
I don't know, but they better put it in.
Yeah, or else. What are we going to do? We got to figure it out.
That's true.
Your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast. Partly sunny with a few showers north of Buffalo this afternoon. Highs in the mid-50s tonight. Mostly cloudy with some scattered showers. Overnight lows in the upper 30s on Friday, becoming partly sunny with highs again in the mid-50s. With your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Aaron Minkowski.
Paul Hamilton, Sabres beat reporter for WGR, is on the Bison Automotive Live Line this morning. Sabres got off to a great start last night, for the second round of the series. The first line, Paul, wasn't bad, but the second, third, and fourth lines for the Sabres really shined. Benson, Doan, Greenway, McLeod, what did you see?
Well, they really don't number lines. It depends on the night. I mean, I could sit here and tell you the McLeod line is the second line for a half hour. Then I could sit here and tell you the Norris line is the second line for a half hour. And Lindy Ruff kind of said that when it's really not a numbered situation. It's just, you know, who's going and that type of a thing. They could add a goal like 10 seconds into the game. I mean, Hudson took a tripping penalty on Benson. Benson was just about ready to send the puck across to Doan for a tap-in, and he tripped him and put him down to the ice, and that saved a goal. That would have been an easy goal for them. And so that was right off the bat that they were able to do that. They got two power play goals by using, you know, getting in there and actually winning some battles. I mean, the one by McLeod was just, you know, Doan's in front of the net where he always is, out battles two Montreal guys, gets it over to Benson, who's on one post. He quickly gets it over to the other post to McLeod, who's got a wide open net to put it in. And you get one power play goal there. McLeod sets up another power play goal by Byram coming down the slot. So it's just, you know. But Lindy Ruff wasn't all that happy with the teams. He was like, it was okay. It wasn't awful by any means, the way they played. But he said, you know, it also wasn't us. It wasn't our game, you know, the way we normally like to play. And, you know, he's think there are a couple of things he's going to want to button up a little bit, you know, because that series, of course, this series, of course, is a lot different than what they played against Boston. It's going to be a faster series. And he felt there were a lot of Montreal chances maybe that they used their speed on that either they missed the net or Lyon made good saves on. They only got the one shot in the third period. Now, they did get some chances. Zucker set up Quinn right in the middle of the ice, and he missed the net. You know, he got rid of it right away. That line had a very, very good game, the McLeod line. I thought they struggled in Game 6 against Boston. They felt there were things they had to clean up, and I thought they by far were Buffalo's best line. They were just on it. They were good defensively. They had some chances offensively, which I hadn't seen in a bit, and I thought that line played really, really well.
Two power play goals, Paul, often talked about here leading up to the game, what the power play was going to look like. I thought they maybe switched up the zone entry a little bit. You mentioned, you know, winning some puck battles down deep, and I don't know, Paul, what do you think about that second power play unit? They're power play two on the ice, power play one in my heart. I don't know if anyone else is thinking the same thing, but they look excellent when they're on the ice.
Ever since Doan scored that goal that wasn't a power play goal because Arvidsson had just stepped on the ice, so it was a 5-on-4, but you know it wasn't a power play goal because he had come back on. That unit really seems to move the puck pretty well. You know, had some good opportunities and took advantage of them in this game. And you talked about their entries were better, but I think the thing that was really better was their compete in the zone. You know, winning battles. They weren't winning battles on the power play. They would have two guys, they'd outnumber the opponent 2-1, and they'd lose the battle. And the puck goes down the ice. So to me, that's the key part of the success that they've had is now they're winning the battles. And by doing that, it's allowing them to get set up into the zone, work the puck around, and get some good opportunities.
Darlene went down late in the third. Lindy said he seemed fine. You were in the room with the players afterward. Did you notice anything out of the ordinary?
He wasn't in the room when we went in there. So usually the only ones there in the room are the ones we asked for to talk to. Lindy Ruff said he seemed like he walked by him, but if he was fine, why didn't he play? That's my. I mean, he had. There were times at the end there where he was sitting at the end of the bench. He went down the hallway, walked it off like you will see quite a bit. You know, when somebody gets hit with a shot, and came back, sat down on the bench. There was a whistle. There was a timeout. That's when he would have been put on the ice to play, to finish out the game, and he wasn't. He sat at the end of the bench there for the rest of the game. So it wasn't like he was winded or anything like that. And those are the situations that Rasmus Dahlin is on the ice for, and he wasn't. So something was wrong that he didn't finish the game. He was, as he said, just sat and watched and supported his teammates. But, you know, Lindy Ruff said he walked by him. He looked fine. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, fingers crossed there. What can you say about Jordan Greenway? Monster game, even before he scored that goal that ends up being the game winner. He dealt with so much this year and able to have a game like that.
Yeah, he's been playing well. I think a lot of fans don't realize what he brings to the game. People want to bench him even before this game. No, he's not a 30-goal scorer. That's not what he's going to be doing. But I think he really showed what his value is, and it wasn't just the goal. Had he not scored a goal, I think we'd be talking about him right now. He had 5 hits. He was good on the forecheck. He was great on the battles. And it was a nice play on the goal to set the defenseman up to screen the goaltender. Not only did he do that, you had Kozak going to the net on what's called a flash screen because, you know, he goes to the net with a defenseman, takes the defenseman with him, and they had just gotten out of the eyes of Dobish. You know, they just had gotten by him when the shot was taken. So not only does the defenseman totally screen the goaltender, yet he had the two that just had finished screening the goaltender and distracted him. But I really like the way Greenway set the defenseman up to screen the goaltender so he could take the shot and the goaltender's not going to see it coming.
All right. Well, Paul, get it. Game 2 tomorrow night. I love the every other day without any extra days in between. So here we go. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Paul Hamilton, Sabres beat reporter from WGR.
All right, all fired up. I'm ready for game 2 tonight.
I know.
I want it to come as soon as possible.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.